So tonight we're going to talk about passion and finding our passion and living a passionate life, which means living 100%, living our dreams, living each moment to the fullest, and so that when it's time for us to pass over, we have no regrets, none whatsoever. So finding our passion, how did we get cut off from our passion? What happened to the natural dynamic energy that we are all born with? And how can we get it back? Passion has been repressed in most people. From very childhood, our passion has been crippled and pushed down. Whenever we started becoming passionate, somebody, whether it was one of our parents or a teacher or even the police or some authority figure, who immediately became suspicious of us and said, "Don't do it. Be quiet. Pipe down. Cut it out." So we shrank back within ourselves. And what happened over time is that to survive, we learned it's better to listen to people who are around us, because perhaps they know better. It's certainly safer to do that, because what else can a child do? What is a child supposed to do when they feel passionate, when they feel full of energy and want to jump and run and dance? And say, for example, the father is reading the newspaper, and because he's the most important person in the house and he has the power and he's the master of the house, then he gets to say, "What is happening?" And the child has to be silent. We have to be silent. We can't dance or run or scream or jump. So we have to repress all that energy. We have to try and control. We have to learn to try and control ourselves. Because the people around the child are more powerful. They can punish him, they can destroy him. They have all the power to control and to corrupt and to politicize and to repress a child. So the child has to become diplomatic. We had to learn to be politicians very early. And then when we reach the teenage years, the sex energy arises, and again, there's a problem with all that energy arising, because religions are against it, society is against it, society says it has to be channelized, it has to be controlled. So again, the child has to cut their energy, control it, repress it, push it down. And then in school, it's the same thing. It's almost as if schools are not so much instruments for imparting knowledge as instruments of control. And for maybe 6 or 7 hours a day, the child has to just sit there and be controlled and obey rules and speak when spoken to and do this and do that and constantly told what to do. So it's kind of like an almost prison-like atmosphere. And so over time that energy kind of goes dead. It becomes repressed. It becomes frozen. There's no more streaming energy. And so the child lives at a minimum of the potential energy, And that's what control is. It can never go to the maximum. And we talked about this a little bit last time when we were talking about creativity, about whether we're living at the minimum or whether we're living at the maximum. Because most people live at the minimum. They only live at about 10% of their potential energy, 10% of their potential as human beings. So they live 10%, they breathe 10%, they love 10%, they enjoy 10%. And the other 90% it's just not allowed. It's been cut off, it's been repressed, it's been shut down. And this is a shame. This is sad that so many people live this way. But we have the possibility to live at 100% because we are bringing our awareness and our mindfulness to ourselves, to explore our own nature, to understand ourselves, so that we can flower to our greatest potential. By studying meditation, by taking the inner journey and getting to know our inner nature and freeing ourselves from all these repressions which lie deep in the subconscious. And these statistics are interesting for me because 90% of us is in the subconscious and 10% is in the conscious mind. And so most people are not aware of the resources and talents and treasure chests they have in their subconscious. And they're just living from this minimum place of only 10%. And they're just kind of so-so alive. Like a candle with a very dim flame. A lot of smoke and not much light. And this way of control, it's easy because we have cultivated these habits of control since a very, very small age. We've learned to control a lot of our authentic self because that was our best strategy to avoid being punished or to avoid getting into trouble. And so what we have to do now is to bring awareness in and create new habits of awareness. And this is where the meditation comes in, because meditation is awareness. Meditation is being fully present. Meditation is paying attention. And as we go on this inner journey and find our inner source of meditation, then we will find we have more energy for love, and then compassion will come and celebration. Because a person who is non-meditative, who is not interested in the inner journey, is disconnected from his own source of energy. It's like a stream that's not in contact with the ocean. So there is some energy that's been created by food and by air and water, the sort of physical energy. But that has limitations. It's a bit like a lamp that burns because of the oil in it, and when the oil is gone and exhausted, then the flame goes out. But the person, the meditative person, comes to know something of the infinite and can become bridged with this inexhaustible source of energy. what we might call it spiritual energy, where the flame never dies. And so this is our journey through different meditation techniques, whichever techniques are the ones you like, is to how to bridge ourselves with this inexhaustible source of life and abundance and richness. And we can call that God, or we can call it truth, or our spirit, or our soul, or anything we want to call it. But it is there, and it is absolutely certain and sure that we have a connection with this infinite source of energy. And so meditation is a bridge that allows us to go within. Whichever technique you choose, whichever meditation technique you choose, it's a bridge to take you to go within. And the technique you use doesn't matter. What matters is that it's taking you within to the source of God or your soul or truth or whatever you want to call it, within you, to reconnect. And then we become overflowing with joy, with passion, with love, with compassion. And then not only do we benefit, but everybody around us benefits. And the final piece of it is compassion. When we have found meditation and found love and joy and passion, and then that completely overflows into compassion, which is the highest form of love. And then we know that we are living in light, and that we have reached a place where we can share this, and many people benefit. However our passion is expressed, or however our creativity is expressed, many, many people benefit. And meditation can be passionate. You know, some people think that meditation means sitting with a rigid back in a lotus posture for hours on end, and that is one technique. That is the Vipassana technique that Gautama the Buddha created, and it's a very powerful technique. But there's many techniques that allow us to express ourselves, like the laughter and tears and the gibberish and the dancing meditations as some examples. Because passion is energy, and passion is fire, and passion is life. And so if you're doing your meditation in a just so-so way, without any fire and any passion, then nothing's going to happen. And so you look for techniques that you have a resonance with, that you love. And you do those techniques because they will help to reawaken the passion and the energy and the fire within you. And call it forth, invite it forth to reconnect with the source that is deep within us. Because it's the passion, it's the fire of the energy of passion that creates the bridge to the inexhaustible source of love and energy in this world. And the more thirsty you are for it, the more hungry you are for it, the more you want it, then the greater is the possibility that you can have it. So it's like a yearning, a deep longing from your soul to have it, to find the peace and contentment, to find the expression, to find your authentic self and express that in the world. That energy, that longing, that yearning will propel you to find yourself. To find the 100% passion. So this is how we can understand ourselves on a deeper level. And help to stoke the fires and find the courage and find the trust to go for it. Because if we don't, we're just always going to live life at a minimum, enjoying things 10%, loving 10%, and so on. And it is a decision to make. And the great thing about meditation and awareness, and all of you being on this call tonight, and all of you interested in discovering more about yourselves, is that you are aware there's a choice to be made. Whereas a lot of people, they aren't even aware there is a choice. They just think that's the way life is. It's the lot they've been given, and okay, this is how life is. So we are all very fortunate just that we have the awareness that there is a possibility of something far more and far greater and far more joy for us to find. This is a huge step, that just this insight, just this awareness. And even that awareness can bring us joy. That it is possible to free ourselves from all of these conditionings which have imprisoned us and created a disconnect from the original source. Just the insight can bring us joy. And even that can help us to become more fluid and more flowing and more alive. And a song can be born in our hearts. So something that we can even start doing right now is to live each moment fully. Live each moment at 100%. Be ourselves, be our authentic nature as often as we remember. Sometimes it's just a matter of remembering. Because we're all like a tree, and when a tree is taken care of and watered and looked after, it naturally blooms one day. And when the spring comes, there's a great flowering. And so it is with us too. So take care of yourself. Find a right soil for your being. Find a right climate. And go deeper and deeper into yourself, deep into the roots of your tree. So instead of exploring the world out there, explore your own nature